Well, thank you, Daniel, and praise team and tech team and everybody leading up to this. We really just are blessed in our church. And so, you know, it's a pleasure to be here with you. As you guys know, I normally preach through Colossians whenever Pastor Ron allows me to take over his pulpit. So I'm going to be continuing on with that. And as you saw, we're going to be reading through Colossians 4, verses 2 and following. And so if you don't have your Bibles open to that, go ahead and do that. And as you do that, I want to update you really quickly on my mother. A lot of people have been asking, and it blesses me that so many of you are concerned and have been praying. And so we thank you for that. She is doing a lot better. She's gaining her strength once again and finally getting this malaria kicked out of her system. And so praise God for that. That's been an answer to prayer. And it's just good to see her gaining her health back as well. So continue to pray. It's still going to be a little bit longer of a road to full health, but God is at work there. And so I just want to tell you, I've been excited about the new year and what we're going to be seeing God do in that. And it's been really neat seeing how God not only orchestrates the teaching to his people, but how he prepares me, you know, in bringing the message and how he prepares even our pastoral staff. We had a retreat just recently looking at the next year and planning, and you know, Pastor Ron just asked, what's one thing that's really been on your heart that God just has been telling you needs to happen? And we all unanimously were saying, you know, God's been leading me to be much more involved in prayer. You know, we've been talking through so many different things about that over the past year, but really being in prayer and dedicating ourselves to that. So we've been talking about that, and that's what we're looking at today, is this idea of steadfast prayer. And then last night, I was listening to a pastor who was preaching live, and he was preaching on that very understanding of, you know, if people seek God steadfastly, if they are pursuing him, that we will see, you know, an outpouring of God's Spirit. We'll see revivals break out. And it's just an exciting thing to see that, you know, this guy preaching in Kansas City last night is focusing on the same thing that I've been led to preach this morning, and I'm sure others across the nation and maybe even around the world, as God prepares his people to be a praying people. And so it's an exciting thing for me to be able to fill the pulpit this morning and explain that and just be involved in that with you. And so there's another thing as well, where normally at the end of the year, over the past couple of years, God has been doing this with me, where he starts to reveal how everything that I've been learning or studying on my own, it leads to one specific point where he's been pushing me the whole time. And it's just an incredibly intimate revelation that he gives to me and shows me how all these things connect. And it's such an intimate thing to be before God and see, wow, he's involved in these little aspects of my life. And he reveals things, but that's one of the key things he just did in my life. And it's just such an intimate view of our glorious Savior that he would be involved in that way. And so, you know, it's with that mindset and with that prayer that you would experience that same thing that I feel led to preach to you this morning. Now, I did have about 9 pages of notes, but I trimmed it down a little bit. So we've got like a sermon series that I'm trying to cram into a little bit of time here. But, you know, I've been praying about this, praying through this, and I believe this is what God wants you to hear. And so let's read, once again, Colossians 4. And we're just going to read verses 2 through 5 to start off our time together. So let's read this together. It says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." Now, when we come to a text like this, or really any others, We have a lot of things that are bogging us down. Either we have, ill experiences where we read the text in a tainted view, or maybe we haven't had any experiences with this, and so we come with apprehensions or maybe even disillusions about, what God is saying through this. And we have insufficient understanding sometimes of even how to pray, much less what it means to pray steadfastly. We struggle with being committed to Christ, much less, in this idea of being vigilant, in prayer. We wrestle to have enough faith. We wrestle with our flesh desiring other things instead of the things of God. And we also wrestle with the devil as he is consistently trying to attack us, to distract us from the glory of God and from what God wants us to have. And so there's all these things that are taking place, which is one of the reasons that I've been praying for you so much this week and for myself. And so as we come to the Word, I really want us to just come to the Lord. And let's pray, let's ask Him to reveal Himself through the reading this morning, and we'll continue on. But let's pray together right now and just claim this time for Him. Heavenly Father, we come before You right now and are so thankful to be gathered in Your name, to be gathered to hear Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You would just work within us, a deeper understanding of Scripture, a deeper understanding of what it means to be steadfast in prayer. Lord, we pray that You would give us not only that understanding, but a boldness to take charge of our lives, to orient ourselves back to the things that need to be evident in our lives, that need to be our focus. Lord, that You would allow us to sense Your presence, to sense Your leadership, but to take hold, Lord, and to really transform our own lives by actually pursuing You in steadfast prayer. Lord, I pray that Your glory would just be shown here this morning and throughout the week as we begin to think about this reality that we need to be pursuing You more fully, Lord, to experience the joy of the Lord, to experience more answers to prayer, and to, Lord, just to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit to do Your will. So we pray that would happen even this morning. We pray specifically that every one of us would be able to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek Your righteousness, and to do these things through prayer. And so we give ourselves to You this morning and pray that You will bless the reading of Your word. We pray these things in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Paul tells us to be steadfast in prayer. And I loved what John read earlier in the King James Version. It said to be vigilant in prayer. And that's the mindset we need to have when we're looking at this. Now, what's the difference between steadfast prayer and regular prayer? I kind of think about the people who sit down to eat a meal and they pray before their meal, which is great, but that's not the picture of steadfast prayer necessarily. He's looking for something that we are changing our entire life to focus around prayer, that we are so given over to it and committed to it that it taints everything in a good way, that we are constantly in prayer. Now, John Piper was talking about this very same thing and saying that it needs to overtake us to the point where prayer is as normal as breathing. And I think that's the good way to put it here, that we need to think about it in that way. Now, if we look at kind of what we've been doing as a church over the past year, we've had Dr. Whitney here, and he was talking to us about prayer, and he said this, he said that if we pray the same old things about the same old things, we get bored with that, right? And we stop praying. So we need to find new ways to say the same old things. And if you remember, his remedy for that was praying the Scriptures, opening up, to the Psalms and reading those, and then letting that be your text for prayer. And so that's a neat way to overcome that. And Dr. Frizzell told us that if we do not pray fervently and live a life that's righteous before God, that our prayers will never be effective and powerful as they should be. So these both of these men had a message behind their message, which was this, that prayer is too vitally important to ignore. But a lot of people think that praying before every meal is being faithful in prayer. So let's try and open ourselves up to understanding that maybe there's some areas we can grow in this. Maybe there's some areas where we can be more faithful, more committed. And as Dr. Frizzell said, take our prayer life from here to here, possibly. So let's think about this as well, where, there's a lot of people who come to these things and say, well, steadfast prayer, I kind of been there and done that. Or maybe they tried to, but they didn't keep up with it. And so they kind of got disenchanted with the whole idea. And you see people who pursue God in prayer for a little bit, and then they kind of get off kilter and they don't do it anymore as much as they should. And, it's just like, well, God, I don't feel like God's even hearing my prayers at this point. I don't know if they're going beyond the ceiling. And that's a problem for a lot of people, but it's this marker of not being steadfast. And so we need to change our mindset to, instead of saying, well, I'm gonna just do this for a little while, let me take this to the end of my life. Let me be faithful in this till I die. Let's continue to pursue this and pursue God in steadfast prayer, because this is what He's called us to do. This is what He blesses. Now, the thing that happens with those who stop is that they actually lose their joy of following the Lord. We were talking about this with the youth a couple weeks ago, again this morning a little bit, that if we don't pursue God in steadfast prayer, we don't pursue God in general, we're going to lose the joy of the Lord. We're not going to have that, those intimate moments with God, because these are the things that He's ordained for us to do as believers. So we realize that it doesn't take a whole lot to be uncommitted to something, right? It's easy to be uncommitted, but it's the commitment that takes time, that takes perseverance, that takes reordering our schedules. And that's the tough aspect of what God has asked us to do. I recently read this, that real praying demands spiritual energy and alertness, and this can come only from the Holy Spirit of God. Routine prayers are unanswered prayers. When we look at Ephesians 6, you can just jot this down to the side if you're taking notes. Ephesians 6, 18 says this, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints." There's no power in dull, apathetic prayer. Wiresbe, another writer, said that if there is no fire on the altar, the incense will not rise to God. If you think about it, and you're bored with your prayer life, how long do you think it's going to be before you just kind of give up on it altogether? But that's not what God has ordained for us as believers. That's not what He wants for us in our walk with Him. It's supposed to be this intimacy that's not something you can find anywhere else, but we don't find it unless we are faithful. When we look at James 4, 8, it's another thing you can just jot off to the side. We think about this idea where we're having a hard time with it. Maybe that's where you are right now. It just seems dry. It just seems like I'm not effective in my prayer life. Funny thing is, you have to pray about that. Actually ask God to change your prayer life. Ask Him to give you that steadfastness. Ask Him to help you in those ways. Because in James 4:8, it says that we need to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. He's already done that. We've celebrated Christmas. He's given us His Son. He's given us His Spirit. He's constantly pursuing us. But a lot of times, we kind of do the yo-yo, where we'll pursue you a little bit. Oh, we'll come back. And we have to keep doing this instead of continually growing gradually towards God. And that's what God uses, that steadfast heart, that steadfast prayer to Him. So I was thinking about this, and I've actually heard someone talk about this before as well. Like, why would God want us to pray for something more than one time? You ever thought about that? It's like, God doesn't need us to remind Him of His will or remind Him of the things that are going on down here. It's like, hey, Lord, you Seems like you forgot about this situation. No, he doesn't forget. He knows intimately what's going on in your life, and he is at work in that. But this was a neat thing that also John Piper said, that as we come back to God with those prayer requests, as we continually seek him, he begins to prepare our hearts for those answers. Another note here is that as we're seeking God, we're going to be able to be more effective in recognizing when God answers those prayers. Have you ever prayed a prayer before and just been like, no, I just forgot about that, you know, or you just don't even recognize when God answers the prayer? You know, sometimes even in my own life, I do this where I'll pray something and, you know, later on, a week, 2 weeks later, I'll see the answer to that. And it's like, oh my gosh, I prayed about that. I only did it once, but, you know, wow, God answered. And that's a problem for us because we need to be quick to recognize these things and we need to continue in prayer. And we'll talk a little bit later about the aspect of praying in faith. And so when we think about this, we are praying consistently, coming back to God, not necessarily just to remind him, but that he will continue to renew our hearts and to prepare us for the answer that he's going to give. Now, the other aspect of this as well is that as we pursue God in prayer, our relationship with him is shaped. Now, I just shared a little bit about my own experience where, you know, in my own personal prayer times, I'm pursuing God. I'm pursuing him. And he begins to reveal himself in maybe little ways or even massive ways. And it just brings your heart to a place that's just so joy-filled and just confident in who God is. And then it renews this desire in your heart to even be steadfast. And so it kind of perpetuates itself, where if you're steadfast, God blesses, and then it just makes you want to be more steadfast. And then God blesses, and you want to be more steadfast. And so, you know, we've got to continually pursue him because that is how our relationship with God is shaped. And it's with this aspect of prayer. And it's just the neatest thing when you start to recognize that God not only hears those deep longings of your heart, but God is a funny God, and he'll answer some of the most random little prayers and just show you that he has a sense of humor, or, you know, do things that just show you, wow, God is, he's involved in my life. He's showing me these things. And I tell you what, these are the aspects of your life that you share with unbelievers that say, look, God has moved in these ways. God has allowed for these things to happen for his glory, and just showing them, look, God is real. He's at work. And that is something that just should bring joy to your heart right there. So allow this steadfastness to drive us to have those deep, intimate moments with God. But here's the problem. A lot of us don't live in that mindset, and honestly, I've kind of yo-yoed on this a long time, but God has begun to reshape my life to put so much more devotion into prayer, and it's only by his grace. And it's only things that he's teaching me that allow that. And so the thing that normally happens for us, though, is that when tragedy strikes, we run to God. And I think 9/11 was one of those perfect examples of that, where all of a sudden, Sunday after, it was just packed out with people. And then because they didn't stay faithful to God, or they didn't even really recognize that they have to be steadfast, they just kind of drizzle out the door, and then a month later, it's back to the usual thing. But that is not what God has ordained for us. You know, he hears those prayers. He answers those prayers a lot of times as well. But when that immediate danger subsides, and we end up coming back to that plateau, that's not where God wants us to be. He wants to take us deeper. And I was thinking about this, the persecuted church came to mind as well. Because when you look at the persecuted church, and if you're involved in some of the things we did back in November, it just reveals the walk that these Christians have with God. I mean, it's so intimate, it's so intense for them that they couldn't imagine doing anything else other than following God, no matter what it means. Even if it's, you know, being flogged or put in prison for days on end. I just watched a video recently of a guy who was actually crucified, and he survived the experience and was able to escape from it. I mean, intense things that happen, but these guys are on fire for God. And you wonder, like, wow, I mean, so much pain, so much, you know, just horrible things that happen to them. Why are they close to God? Well, when you look at it, they have to be at the throne of God daily. I mean, more than that, to just show that, man, you have to guide my life. You have to give me strength for this. You have to give me joy in the pain. And so they live lives with God that emphasize the fact that we're completely dependent on Him. James 1 and 2, 1 verse 2 says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, this is talking about the walk that we have with God, but I think this transfers directly to our prayer lives. You know, our steadfastness in prayer also brings about, you know, the fact that we will become perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So obviously we don't have the kind of persecution that people have overseas, and I mean, praise God that that's not happening here. Let's continue to pray that that stays here, but what does this mean for us then? Our call to prayer has to be a choice. It's not something forced upon us. We have to grab a hold of it. We have to ask God to help us with it. It has to be so intentional. You know, we choose to pray above watching that TV show. We choose to pray instead of getting involved in the game or whatever it is that's going on. We have to maybe choose to pray instead of sleep, which just is like a dagger to my heart because I like to sleep, especially when your sick kid gets you up every hour on the hour all night long when he's sick. So we've got to make this an intentional thing. If we pray with this on-and-off mentality, we lose our momentum in pursuing God, and we have to be reminded of God's goodness instead of walking in it. That's the tough thing, is that if we're not sitting by the fire and we continue to walk back and forth from it, it warms us for a second, but then we're gone again. It warms us for a second, we're gone again, instead of resting in the grace of God in steadfastness. So just something else to think about here. Did you know that prayer is God's ordained method for bringing about His will? This is a glorious thing right here, that God cannot refuse to answer a prayer that is based on His promises and prayed in faith. Do you realize that? God will not, because it's in His nature, it's in Scripture, that this is how God works. Now, we've got to be real careful here, because a lot of times we pray things and we don't really expect God to answer. Sometimes He does it because He's such a gracious God. But in James, it tells us that we have to be so careful. James 1, verse 5 tells us that if we don't pray in faith expecting that God is going to answer, that we're like a double-minded person, unstable in all of our ways. You know, we've got to be so hooked in to God, knowing that, you know what, this isn't just a game we play, this isn't just something we do on Sundays and all that, this is a life. This is the way that we live. The things that we do have purpose. And then when you realize that if you're fervently praying for God's Spirit to move, to bring salvation, what do you think is going to happen? You should know that God is going to bring salvation. There are people who prayed for 30 plus years for somebody to be saved. And then at the end of that 30 years, they're saved. But they were faithful, they were steadfast. It wasn't just offering up a prayer one day and then walking away from it. They continued to pursue God in it. And then at the end of that, seeing God's gracious answer, but all the while God saying, "Well done, Well done staying steadfast and in prayer. So when we pray to God, what should we know will happen? God will answer. Now, we have to be careful there as well. We have to be praying things that are about God's will. It's not always, hey, you know, God, I need a new car. I need a new TV. That would really bless me. We can pray those things, and God doesn't always answer that. Sometimes he changes our heart in the middle of it. But when you think about the things that God is intimately involved with, saving the lost, reviving those who are saved that need to be revived, these are things that are close to God's heart. And it's awesome because he gives us the opportunity to join in salvation, to join in that aspect, that journey of people coming to Christ, coming to faith, because he wants us to pray those things. In prayer, I talked about this earlier just in my prayer, when we pray, it actually looses the Holy Spirit's power to do what it's supposed to do the will of God, and we're joined in that. That is amazing. That is an incredible truth that we see in Scripture. But this is all focused, all of it is focused on God's glory. All of it is focused on us becoming the people of God and sharing God's truth. You see that in Paul's words here in verse 3. It says, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." It goes on in verse 5 to say, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." He was wanting to make clear the mysteries of Christ, to make clear the gospel. This is what God has done for you. This, don't let me muddle it up in my own words, but allow God to loose my tongue to speak the right things so that people will come to know the Lord. If you're a believer, you should long to see God at work that way. But to see that happen, we have to pray for it. As we think about this, there are too many feeble prayers that are offered up inconsistently and without the faith that God would hear, much less answer. We've got to be steadfast in prayer. And God, when you start to realize the love that God has for you, I mean, it should floor you every single time that this is a God who literally moved heaven and earth to give us his Son, to live a perfect life and then die for our sins. I mean, this is a God who loves beyond anything that we could possibly know. This is the God who listens to your prayers. The prayers of his people, your prayers. That is intimate. That is amazing. Let's be steadfast in prayer. Now, some final thoughts as we kind of wrap this up here. Two things, being watchful and thankful. So back to verse 2, it says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Now, there's really two things that we're watching for, and the first one kind of makes sense right off the bat. When we're praying, obviously we need to be looking for those answers. You know, a lot of people keep prayer journals, they write things down, and you know, can actually keep track of that, and that's a really neat thing to do, because then you see, whoa, God answered this, God answered this, God answered this. You can go back through and see how God's been moving, and so I'd encourage you to do that. But the other thing that we have to look at is that when we start praying this way, Satan starts working too. Because he wants to foil our plans. If we're being steadfast in prayer, he's going to be irritated about it. And he'll start trying to distract us, trying to make us ineffective. And so we have to watch for his work as much as we do for God's work. Now, here's the really neat thing. I get fired up about this. 1 John 3:8 says that the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, part of the way he did that was on the cross, but the way that he continues to do that is through us and through our prayers. So as Satan is at work, we need to be praying specifically against those different things. If it's actions and attitudes, then we claim those things in Jesus' name and we bind them and throw them out and say, this is not allowed here. I mean, how many times have you been, even in our own church, walking around and you hear some things like, wow, I can't believe people are talking that way. Don't go and talk to other people about it. Go to God and talk about it. Go to God and say, in Jesus' name, I cast out that attitude. I cast out those words that were said. And I pray that your spirit comes and just radically transforms that situation. What if we start praying like that? Start praying so specifically against the work of Satan and specifically to see God at work. We're going to see amazing things happen here. Now, don't get me wrong. God is working here. He has his hand on many, many people that are attenders here. But we don't want to stop there. We want to see everyone on fire for the Lord. We want to see Fairborn radically changed because of what God is doing here. We want to see Dayton changed, and then Ohio, and then the nation, and then, you know, going out beyond the far reaches of the world. But it has to start with our prayers. It has to start with each of us individually as God's people, steadfastly pursuing God, steadfastly praying. So this is what I would ask you to do, that you would join me and the other pastors as we look for specific areas to pray against, specific attitudes, specific spirits, specific, you know, whatever it is that God reveals, pray against those things. But then let's begin to pray specifically for blessing. One of the things that's been on my heart is just that we'll get hungry for the word, that we, everybody here, would be so just hungry that they would be in the Word daily. They'd be in the Word twice a day. They would be talking about it with even coworkers because they're so excited about what God is saying and what He's doing in their lives. So to what end do we stay steadfast in prayer? We do this so that the glory of God will spread in evangelism and that the kingdom of God will expand. You know, I'm not satisfied with a packed house or whatever. That's not necessarily what even shows God's moving. I'm satisfied in seeing people come to Christ and then not stay in just a stagnant place, but that they're moving, they're growing, they're excited about God, they're being discipled, and they're winning others to Christ. And it's just this exponential thing that happens to where not only are we excited and brought back to the joy of the Lord in that, but God is glorified, and He's lifted up. So we are called to be a Great Commission people. How will your neighbors come to Christ? It's going to be through prayer. It's going to be through that joined with evangelism, going and talking to them. How will that server at your favorite restaurant come to know Christ? I was blessed. Pastor mentioned this. He didn't talk about this later, but you know, driving through the McDonald's window, he's been talking to the people there at the window, just saying, hey, how's it going? How can I pray for you? He's forged this relationship and just continued to invite them to church over and over again. And near our Christmas Eve service, they're like, so when are you doing a Christmas Eve service? We want to try and be there. You know, just neat little things that we can do, but praying earnestly for this to happen. How will revival fall in our church? How will we see God change Fairborn into a town where teen pregnancy becomes a thing of the past, where alcoholism and drug abuse is being overcome? It's going to be through the prayers of God's people. It's going to be through your prayers. Dave Early says this in his book called Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. It says, prayer influences men by influencing God to influence them. It's kind of hard to follow. Let me read that again for you. Prayer influences men by influencing God to influence them. We get so worked up in trying to do life and trying to do ministry on our own, in our own ingenuity, with our own wisdom, with our own plans. We get super busy doing all this stuff. But God's plan is so simple. He says, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." And when we seek God, things just fall into place. It's not a struggle. It's just like, wow, God just lines things up and we just follow him. So let's not be okay with a prayer life that kind of hovers or yo-yos between different, you know, hopefully not horrible events, but just different events that call you to prayer. Let's be steadfast. Let's continue to seek God. We should be a people that's blazing with the glory of God, that's blazing with the joy of the Lord, no matter what circumstances come our way. Not people that are kind of simmering embers that occasionally flicker, you know? Because the blaze is what catches other people, and then they catch other people, and it continues. So we're going to go into our invitation time. And I just want to leave this completely open. You know, if you need to come up front and just pray and just ask the Lord, you know, am I this way in my prayer life? Am I steadfast? If not, pray that God will give you the passion and the fire to do that. I know we've got many awesome prayer warriors here. Pray that God would continue to help you be steadfast in that. And hang on to the fact that God will move. God is moving. But for others, maybe you don't pray at all. Maybe you don't even have a walk with God. And that's what we're here to talk to you about. You know, the glory of God given in his Son, given in making us right with him through the sacrifice of Christ and through his resurrection and victory. So come down and we'll talk to you about that. If you want to join the church, this is an opportunity for you to do that. Come down and talk to either one of us down here at the front. But use this time to really seek the Lord. Let's not go back to a yo-yo approach to prayer. Let's be steadfast. And let's pray right now together. Dear Lord, we come before you and are so thankful for the word. We thank you for just the fact that you are a God who does reveal yourself. Lord, I just thank you for the transformation in my own life as I continue to grow in my own understanding of prayer, and as I struggle to be steadfast. Lord, I pray that you would help me, help the pastoral staff, help all those who are here right now to begin that walk with you, to be steadfast in prayer, to not pray only when seasons are tough, but in and out of season. Lord, I pray this scripture over our people right now, that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lord, I pray that you will help every one of us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that we would be fully pleasing to you. Lord, I do pray that we would bear fruit. I pray for salvations, Lord. I pray that you would be so at work in the hearts of our congregation. And Lord, even in just the presence of God resting on our church, that people driving by can sense you. And that we will see people come to know Christ through just incredible ways. So we ask for you to move that way. We ask for you to ignite our hearts to a passion that's not satisfied with being just a lazy prayer. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us with your Holy Spirit to work in power within us. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Amen.